This message was recorded at Ridgeway Community Church, Didcot. We trust that it will help you in your understanding and appreciation of God. For more information, please visit our website at ridgewaycommunity.church.
Well, this morning I've themed this one, The Tower. We're just taking a break from the Samuel series. I've got a little picture up there. Does anybody know what that picture is? Sorry? The Tower of Babel, Ruth. If I had a sweetie for the bonus prize, the painter is? Have got any sort of... Sorry? Any ideas who the painter is? Not quite, but close begins with a B. Bruegel. So if you want to know nice pictures, I grew up with these. Some of these pictures, my mum and dad used to get them on the sort of wall, the copies, I hasten to say, not the originals. And we used to really enjoy studying them as kids, all the people, all the characters. They're the sort of pictures, when you look in them, by the way, they're always interesting little things going on in the story behind the scene, which is always interesting. So it's the Tower of Bruegel. Tower of Babel. So let me just show you another slide. Okay. What's going on at the moment? I don't know whether you're going to boo, hiss, whatever, or cheer. But I just find it interesting at the moment. Is everybody here feeling like this is so exciting, or is anybody feeling slightly tired out with things at the moment? Or is it just me? At times I feel that I have to just confess that sometimes it takes a little bit to get me excited about all the things going on. But what I do find fascinating, I'm not going to comment on anybody's political views or anything like that, but it's just, I find it fascinating that every day when I switch on the telly, it's like, and we'll spend £1 billion on that, and we'll spend £1 billion on that, and we'll do this, and we will do that, and we promise to deliver this. And I have to say, I always think to myself, and there by the grace of God you do, and there by the grace of God you do. Nobody can say, I will do it. I promise you this. We live in a world where things happen. We can't guarantee anything except through the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and the protection of our Heavenly Father. Would you agree with me? So I'm always concerned when people say, I will do this. In my strength, I will do this. Because we do everything in the strength that comes from above. Let's read this passage, if we may, Johan, from Genesis 11, 1 to 7. Let's read it together. Next slide, please. Should we read it together? Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to the city and the tower the people were building. We'll just pause back there, if we may, Johan, for a minute before we go on to the next section. Friends, just a few comments on that particular passage. Firstly, we have to see this passage and this outline for what it is. The word used for heavens here is shamayim, which has its root in to be lofty. To be lofty. When they talk of heavens, this isn't the heavens of the Lord. This is the heavens of their own making. This is man making heaven. Okay? This is heaven, quotes, without God in it. They wanted to build a tower to the heavens without God. In fact, if you read the commentaries around it, what they actually plan to do is to build a big tower, have a platform like a helicopter pad on top, and effectively have an altar on the top and actually zodiac symbols around it. And from it, they wanted to control the universe apart from God. Separate from God. They wanted to take control. Other one, I just want to share a couple of things about that passage as well, is to say, I don't know if you've noticed this, but it actually says they use brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. What happens at about 40, 50 degrees to tar? Do you think the tower was going to last a long time? don't know about you, but I'm not sure I'd want to put mortar with tar in. Might be quick on assembly, but I'm not sure that the outcome was going to be particularly good. The other thing I want to share with you there is, it says here is that if you look over the passage there, context is that the people of God, from the beginning of Genesis, Adam and Eve, had been sent to go out throughout the world. Now they've come together in this way. Interestingly this, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. At this, if there is humour in the Bible, this is an area of humour. The people were building a tower. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. I mean, look at it. The Lord came down to see them building this tower. As if the, you know, what they were doing with their hands, they thought they were doing something great. And we're dealing with God. I've seen these people trying to build something. Like, what are those bricks that you put together with kids that fall over? What are those blocks called? You'll tell me. Jenga, is it? Like a Jenga tower. The Lord comes down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The people were building this. It wasn't a God-built tower. It was a people-built tower. Let's read the next one, please, Johan. Let's do it together. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. And from there the Lord scattered them over the face. And praise God, of course, that was used, because when the people were scattered across the world, what we see as well is how the word goes forward. And we see later on in the time of Pentecost, when everybody's gathered together with all the languages, and they then see and they bring glory to Jesus, don't they? And to the Father above. Now, can I just do something as well? When I first read that passage, the Lord said, if as one people speak in the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. It can kind of read as if God is scared of effectively of what's going to happen. No, no, no. That's not what this means at all. Do you think God is really scared of them? No, not at all. But he is concerned that they might do harm to themselves. Have any of you got young children or as kids had concerns about playing with knives in the kitchen? And do you think sometimes, I hope the kids aren't raiding the actual drawers in the kitchen and getting the sharp knives out to play? Or is that just something I had as a young dad when I had to deal with things about, oh no, when it goes quiet, when it goes very quiet, start running. Yeah, would that be fair? So what it's like is like saying, we left these guys, they've got the kitchen knives out here, they're starting to mess around building this tower. It's like they got the kitchen knives out and they are going to do some serious damage. I'm going to get them out of there because I ain't having them playing with the kitchen knives. So that was the Lord is doing. So I'm not going to leave them to themselves building this tower, because if I do, they're going to get themselves into bigger trouble. They think this is trouble. They are going to get themselves into so much trouble. So it means that this story is not primarily a story of judgment, actually. It's one of grace. He's saving them from themselves. A tower built of tar. Are trying to rule it without God. He's saving them from themselves. And as we know as well, Babel, do you know what it means? Confusion. So Babel means confusion. Because there, and also we read later on that the word Babylon also links to that as well. Babel, Babylon. Often they're used. Similar context throughout the scriptures. So let's just talk through. Johan, next one, please. Well, we live in a time where sometimes, would you agree, in our society we can focus on praising celebrities. You're looking at those and asking who they are. I've got no particular idea. I think I do know the right guy. I just checked a couple of magazines. I think he's the guy in charge of Amazon, one of the richest people in the world. Okay. Don't know who the left person is. I'm not really into celebrities. But I do notice that when I go over into the dentist or into the, if I go into the dentist or the doctor's surgery, they seem to have a plethora of these magazines and people seem to enjoy reading them. Never mind in terms of social media. But what were the sins of these people that they had committed? Well, one of it is they were actually worshipping the wrong thing. They were creating an idol with this tower. And we are told that in Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 10 to 11, that it is only at this that we should bow the knee. It's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. You know, maybe when we go to the Queen, we out of respect would bow a knee. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters in Christ, as well this, is that you are sons and daughters of the living God. You are part of the royal priesthood. And I say this to you guys. You really don't need to bow to anybody except bow the knee before the Lord Jesus and before our Heavenly Father above. Okay? You are worthy through the Lamb. You are worthy and you're part of the royal priesthood. But we need to make sure that what we do with our actions, these guys were building a tower. They were building themselves up to be something special. The praise and the adoration was going on these individuals who were great kingdom achievers. And they were worshipping the wrong thing. And anything that takes our worship away from the Lord is the wrong thing. We've got to challenge that in our lives. Would you agree? Yeah. Now, it's different from having hobbies. Okay, who has a hobby? Yeah, we all can have hobbies. But sometimes hobbies can flick over into becoming idols. Would you agree? So we've kind of got to watch it. It's like I remember when I was a kid. Anybody here like gaming? Because when I was about 16, I used to believe it or not, computers were around. When I was about 16, they were a little bit blocky on the graphics, I've got to be honest. Okay, it's a bit blocky. Some of you are smiling because you're my age and you remember. And the graphics were a bit slow and clunky. But gaming, you know, is one of those things. It can be fun. I like the Xbox. Anybody here like the Xbox and PlayStation? I like it. Right, it's okay. He's saying, gosh, he likes that. Yeah, I like that. FIFA's okay, you know. I like doing Gran Turismo. I like playing. It's great. But in balance. So when I see some of the guys and they're saying, I didn't actually go to work, Dave, because I was doing it through the night on the PlayStation or online, and I didn't get to work the next day because I was absolutely trashed, we got it wrong. Would you agree? So it's like, it's okay. We're at church, believe it or not, we can have some fun. We can play football and do games. That's okay. But not when it flicks over into being an idol. Okay? So we have to watch that. The next one. We've got to also watch as well where our security is. They were putting their security into building this tower. Let's build a big tower, lots of security. Let's huddle together for warmth. We'll get all this unity around the tower. Now, this shot here is of a mansion that was just recently up in flames in the fires in California. Okay, we can build our big houses. You know, I know people around this room who maybe had homes as well. Very painful to say this in places like Zimbabwe. Things sometimes will perish and get burnt up. But actually, the important thing is that we've got to put our trust in God and our security in God. Three things here. A heaven without God is no heaven at all. A heaven without God is no heaven at all. There is only one name that we should be praising, and that is the Lord. And unity, we can have unity, but without connection to God, it's unity not worth having. I can be in a club and have a team and stuff. And they were trying to do this little team of building the tower, but where was God in that focus? We could have a great church and leave God completely on the doorstep, couldn't we? We could have a really great social club here. Be great. Food would be terrific. But if God is not here, it's not worth a dime. And it's something that we need to do. So we need to build differently. Here's some words for you. Just let it feed you. Let's build ourselves. Let's build on the rock. Let's say these verses together. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Now let's read as well. Because we follow the way of the cross. Let's read this. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. There's a famous evangelist theologian called J.I. Packer. And he says there are three questions that we need to ask from this passage about the Tower of Babel. Okay. Just let's reflect, you and me. To what extent do you embody the attitude of Babel. Thoughtful one. Yeah? To what extent do you and I embody the attitude of Babel? Okay, who are we building for? What are we building for? What are we worshipping? Who are we worshipping? Where are we putting our time and effort? Think about your lives for a minute. This one's a hard one. To what extent have we suffered something of what we saw, the way God treated the people who were building the Tower of Babel? What extent maybe are we suffering today because we are trying to do things without him? You know, sometimes we hurt ourselves because we try and do stuff without God. I want to say to you this. We have got to bring God into everything. Have anybody here got challenging relationships? I'll put my hand up. Is everybody hungry, Dory? Everybody's got everything right in their relationships? No problem with relatives, in-laws, outlaws, whatever? I don't know. Yeah? People at work? People down the shop? I don't know. There's going to be some problems with relationships now and again. We've got to bring God in. Has anybody got any issues like financial worries? Worries about where they're going to find the money for Christmas? Has anybody got worries, about how things are going in health terms? I'm looking around the room here. Unless I'm different, we all got it, stuff. And God says, bring me into the mix. Don't leave me out of every single thing that you're doing. You know, I'm late. If I'm late for the train, I start praying. Yeah? If I'm looking at that bill, I start praying. If I'm thinking I'm really worried about one of the kids, I start praying. And I bring God into the mix. If I'm feeling that I'm actually, you know what, I'm not entirely happy about the way that I acted during the week, and I sometimes think, you know what, Dave, you could have handled that better, mate. You really, maybe I did something where I boasted. I'm being honest with you guys, very easy to do. I boasted about an achievement or something I did, and I thought, do you know what, that wasn't godly then. I shouldn't have done that. I should have given the glory to God, and I'm really sorry, but I bring that to God. I say, will you forgive me, God? If I got that wrong, will you help me? Can I bring you into the mix? Third question, and have I embraced the alternative to Babel? The Lord Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 18:10, it's got the words that we use in that great children's song. The Lord is a strong tower. He ain't Babel. He ain't the Tower of Babel. Not built of tar. It's built of the blood of the Lamb. The Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Let's say it again. The Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. We don't have to strive to build a tower with tar. The Lord says, I am the strong tower. Run to me and be saved. Give off that burden of having to build the tower. Just give yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I am here. Make use of me. What do you want to do with me, with my life, with my skills, with my talents, with my time, with my energy, with all my ups and downs? What do you want to do to it? And the funny thing is the Lord says, come to me. I'm your Father in heaven, your Father of good things, and I'll bless you. If you'll only give over into my hands everything that you have, I will actually bless you. And I'm a strong tower and I'm going to look after you and protect you. See, what shall it profit you and I if we build a mighty tower with our life, but we lose our own soul in the process? I'd rather be a poor man and be a friend of Jesus than a rich man without. Amen? Amen. Because we know what real wealth is. Real wealth is on our final breath. You're saying, Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, I'm coming home. So can I just say to you, even this week, as you come up and you make some calls that you have to make, Is it the call that God is asking you to make? Have you asked Jesus to help you with that call? It may be the one that the world was thinking you're bonkers not to do. But the most important question is, when I do that building stuff, when I do that move, when I do it, is it what God wants me to do? And am I at the center of his will for my life? Because, Lord, help me against building Towers of Babel in my life. And keep me running into your strong tower. Yes? And amen. Now, I'm going to run out of time this morning. But Lawrence has given me a nod. I'm okay for a few more minutes. That's good. So the thing you might be saying, well, Dave, how do I move forward from this? Where do I take it? Because sometimes you can feel a bit mixed about this. Let me just give you a few pointers quickly. Let's hit them, Johan. Let's get them up. Let's go for it. Right, you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. The old is gone. You're a new creation. Let's read these verses together. You know I'm a great believer in that. I believe that as we read them, we breathe in. This is what God is teaching us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Do you like the picture up there? Come December time, my daughter, that's the 20-week scan. It's all right, I'm going to be a granddad for the first time, God willing, at Christmas time. And that's the little bambini. Isn't it great what they can do with scans these days? Amen. And we've got a few more around here as well that are nicely coming through. Excellent. I'm so excited. But, you know, just as we see a baby and we say new creation, I want you to think about that new baby. And sometimes when we look at a new baby, we look and think, I don't know about you, we think it's a new chance. It's a new opportunity. And sometimes we can make the mistake of thinking, actually, I've kind of done stuff, and I've done stuff so much bad, and it's so much soiled and stuff, is that basically, my life's done, so it's going to be that I'll focus the attention on the new baby in the next gen. I'm just being straight. Sometimes we can kind of feel like, I want you to know that your time is now. It's Satan who will tell you that actually your time is done. Your time is now. The past has gone. Today is today. You are a new creation. And the Lord says, I am going to do an amazing thing because I love you. So whatever's happened in the past, the Lord's mercies are new every day. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing some fine people. Yeah? And I'm excited about how God is going to work in your life in this next year. And I'm looking forward to hearing about your exciting journeys. But, and only but, if you say to the Lord, it's in the pot. I'm giving it you large. It's all in. Are you in? Are you in?
Yes.
Let's pray right now. Let's pray right now. Lord, I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we know that when we place our hands, oh Lord, in the carpenter's hand that took the nails, you wept and you bled. And you love us so much. Lord, we're new creations. And you wipe it away. And just like the new babies that have come through, Lord, you give us a fresh opportunity. I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ around the room today. I pray that you're going to take that opportunity. They're going to see as far as from east is from west that the past is gone and now is a new beginning. And I just pray, Lord, we're in for you. We're in for you. Just where you are right now, I just want you to raise your hands. I'm not looking. I just want you to put your hands at where you are. If you're saying in this coming 12 months you are in for God, I just want you to raise your hands right now. I just want you to raise your hands. If you are in, if you're going to give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to put it in. I am going to put it in. See, the Lord sees. The Lord saw them scrambling around at the Tower of Babel. And he sees men and women, boys and girls, who put their hand up and say, I'm in. And he's going to honor that and bless you. Lord, I just pray for everybody who's put their hand up today to say that they're in. I pray you bless them and you keep them. and you pour out your blessing upon them. And that any of the tragedy and the pain that has gone before, Lord, that that would be wiped clean. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, time will go on me today, and I had a few more teachings, but what I am going to do, if that's okay, Johan, is I've got a few more minutes. Okay, I've got a few more minutes, but the trouble is I could go on a long time, Lauren, so it's very dangerous. Let me just briefly run through some things, and then let's pray together as the Lord taught us. Let's go, Johan. Okay, some other just practical things. Renew your mind. I've just been up in Scotland and the Lake District. I have a great job. I get to go to these places and go on the mountains, which is great. Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Where do you renew your mind? We need to take ourselves to places that renew our mind. We do not need to take our minds to places that dirty our minds, that soil our minds, that put ourselves under temptation. You know what I'm talking about. We live in an age, whether it's telly, whether it's the internet or everything, it's there. All the dirt you could want. But you know, there's a beautiful world out there. It's God's creation. There's lovely people. And we can put ourselves into the right places or the wrong places. Next one. Love others. You know, when we love others, it's strange what happens to us. I haven't met too many people who spend their time loving others who are actually unhappy themselves. Because as we give, God pours in. When we love others, God pours in his love for us. Let's read this together. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. You know, we start thinking about our neighbours, not us. When we start thinking about others' need, not just us. We need to look at the stuff we're doing and say, am I doing this for God or am I doing this for me? Am I doing this for others or am I doing this for my selfish ambition? Number four, follow Jesus' teaching. I don't know if you've seen, but a lot of the old-fashioned Bibles used to have a lot of red in them. Have you seen that with the Lord's teaching? You know, I can read through all the scriptures, and I love the whole canon of scripture, but sometimes what I do is I said, I need to see the red. I need to see the red. I need to get, we used to call them red top, didn't we, on the newspapers. Well, I need to see the red ink sometimes and see what Jesus is saying. Jesus said this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Praise God. Next one, Johan. Share your faith. How to move forward. Share your faith. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Like I'm saying, I'm seeing some fine men and women around this room. I'm fond of you all. And if I can use that word proud, I'd be proud to stand with any of you in situations of life. And I want you to shine your light for Jesus and point to him. And don't lie to your light. I know it's difficult at the moment. Anybody here work in the NHS? Got people working maybe in NHS, in schools, in public sector life, in other places. It's getting difficult sometimes to be actually open about your faith and to share. But God will provide nonetheless the opportunities for you to do that. You know, I remember at one time I was on a school governing body and I came to step down after a period of time. And at the end of it, it was quite moving because they gave me a glass cross, crystal cross. And I had never particularly tried to go over the top on my faith. But when they gave it to me, I said, oh, well, thanks very much. And that's really kind. And they basically said, well, you know, David, having you as effectively as a, we could see your Christian faith in what you did. And I was absolutely, this was a secular board. And I thought, I'd never actually said it, but they can see it in us. Because when you have the love of Jesus in your life, you are different. We are different. We do glow in the dark. Amen? Easter, let's do a bit of glowing. Yeah? Do a bit of glowing. Serve the Lord, number six, please. Serve the Lord. And I've put some guys up there making the road, right? And I'm saying this. It says here, obey the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Remember the great things he's done for you. Can I say this? I was up in Scotland recently, and I came into the kitchen, and I'm not always very good at dishes. Is anybody here good at doing the dishes? Joy will tell you, I'm not brilliant at always tidying up. Has anybody else got that? You're all saying, oh, we're brilliant, Dave, at it. We never leave a mess in our bedroom. Okay, all right. I was up in Scotland. I came to this kitchen, and I saw this sink of dishes. And I'm there, and I'm thinking, oh, no, because it wasn't even my sink. It was just in a place up there, and I thought. And I felt the Lord speak to me and said, wash those dishes. I said, what? I've got a meeting in 15 minutes. And he said, wash those dishes. So I washed the dishes. And the next day, the guy came in from the team and said, oh, where are the dishes gone? Somebody washed dishes. And he said, oh, thanks, Dave, for washing this. That's really good. And I thought, that was my witness to that guy who's not a Christian. Because he knows I'm a Christian. Is washing the dishes is sometimes what we've got to do. And when we do them, we've got to do them well. And when we're doing the road, we've got to do it well. And so there are no jobs that are high and jobs that are low. Okay? So whether it's cleaning the loo, right, doing the dishes, or actually it might be doing something academic or computers or whatever, but we've just got to make sure that everything that we do is before God and everything is worthy. Yeah, everything is good. We need to do those jobs well and do them unto the Lord, and the small and the big. And you know the thing, if you can do the small stuff well, God can trust you with the big stuff. But if you can't trust somebody to do a little job, how are you going to trust them to do a bigger job? Okay, he's just given me a little signal now. Okay, we're going to rock and roll. Number seven. Trust and praise God. Obey the Lord and serve him faithfully with your heart. Remember the great things he's done for you. In Tower of Babel, they weren't praising God. Okay? So, I want us just to go on to... Can you go to the Lord's Prayer, please, Johanna, right at the end? We're finishing now. All right. We're going to read through the Lord's Prayer, but I was just... Have a look at the Lord's Prayer for a minute. And if you look at the top, it says... Our Father who art in heaven. Think about the direction of traffic for a minute. So we're coming to, this is how Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, so it's going to him, right? Hallowed be your name, okay? Praise God. Your kingdom come, okay? Your will be done, okay? On earth as it is in heaven. Not our version of heaven, it's actually on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, give us, God to give us this daily bread, okay, and forgive us our trespasses, forgive us. And this, I put in italics, the one thing through this passage where we're actually asked to do something. As we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us, please, dear Lord, not into temptation. And Lord, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever, amen. Do you notice going through that passage? It's, dear Lord, your kingdom come, not my kingdom come. It's your will be done, not my will be done. It's on earth as in heaven, as in your heaven, not my heaven. It's give us this day our daily bread. I don't give us the daily bread, I'll work for it, but you give us the daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, dear Lord, forgive us our trespasses. And the one thing we're called to do, forgive those who trespass against us. We've got any grudges? Any relatives that have upset us and they're not on our Christmas card list this Christmas? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Those unmentionables at the dinner table. Yeah, we've all got them in the family somewhere. People that are difficult. Those people who hurt you, wronged you. Yeah? Somebody maybe who hurt you at work, overlooked you for a promotion. Maybe you got made redundant, somebody hurt you bad. Maybe it's a relationship and there was some rejection. But whoever The Lord calls us the most difficult thing. The one thing we're called at in that passage is to forgive those who trespass against us. This passage is a hymn of praise, adoration and request to our Heavenly Father. And the one thing of us is as we forgive those who trespass against us. We need to forgive those who hurt us if we're to move on. Praise God. Just going to put this last one up here. There is a tower. It's in a cross shape. The Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. And they are saved. Amen. God bless you. Shall I pray? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, as well, that we have the opportunity as well to have fellowship and food today. Lord, I am minded that when we read about Jesus and when he spoke to people and met with people, if you look at the scriptures, over 50% of the times when he's interacting with people and teaching them and talking to them is over food. So we have this wonderful time to have fellowship and food together. We thank you for your bountiful blessings, Lord, upon us as we eat today. Remember those around the world who haven't got the food we have. We pray for them, Lord. Would you bring provision to them? And we pray, Lord, for food, fellowship, and laughter today from you, the Creator and Author of life. Amen.